Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits, with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Don't sweat the technique.
You're listening to The Killer Bees with Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios.
Do not ignore in victory what you wouldn't in defeat. 713-780-3776. What are you not ignoring in victory what you wouldn't in defeat, Blankers?
This may be nitpicky to start with, but Dalton Schultz isn't giving you a whole lot of effort, and he's still making a whole lot of business decisions, even after catches. It just doesn't seem like there's a whole lot of fight in that dog at all. When I watched it again this morning and just on catches, he's just kind of securing the ball and just tensing up for the hit. And he's not putting his head down. He's not trying to get extra yards. And it just seems like now that he's gotten paid, he's not giving you anything close to what he gave you a year ago.
Yeah. Do you think he should have caught that ball on third down?
The one-handed one?
They said that Stroud made a misthrow. Like, they didn't show a replay of it. Never
was
got
that
a good
outside,
look.
Was outside sideline
yeah,
one?
Far sideline on the top of the screen.
I think he could have made it. I don't think it would have been easy.
I don't think he could have made
it. Hit him in the hand.
It hit him in the palm of the hand.
Yeah. I don't know. You're trying to apply that if it hits you in the hands, you should catch it?
Yeah, exactly. Eh, if a ball hits you in the hand, you should catch it. Yes. No, as an NFL football player, if you get hit in the hand with a ball, yes, you should make the play.
I thought he hit more fingertips, if anything. And he was extended. I don't think he could have caught that. I thought that was a poorly placed ball.
Extended in the sense that he was still on his feet.
Sure, but you could still be extended.
Can you extend as far as possible on your feet as opposed to diving for a football?
Well, those are two separate things.
No, I'm just asking because he didn't dive.
That would
imply laziness.
No, this is not an excuse. This is not to excuse Dalton Schultz of his poor play or his lack of effort at times. I'm completely with you guys on that. But on that specific play, I didn't think that was a well-placed ball by Stroud. And I don't think Dalton Schultz could have caught it.
It could have been both. But again, if you can reach further by diving as opposed to just an overextended arm.
He was right on the sideline, though. I think
he could have dove and
I don't
had
think he
room.
Could have dove and stayed in bounds for that.
I don't think it was as close to the sideline as you remember.
I'll have to go back and look at it. But
will you have more range diving for a ball or just
diving.
Reaching for it as far as you can?
Diving.
Okay, and if it hit him in the hand without diving, he would have had a better opportunity.
You don't have to stay in the bounds.
Let's eliminate the sideline for a moment.
Okay.
But if he dives, he's a better chance to catch the football, whether he's in bounds or out of bounds.
Of course.
Okay, so if he had room, then you're willing to say it was a lazy play.
Sure.
Now, it could be both things where Stroud didn't have a good throw.
It could have also been a
poorly thrown ball. I'm not arguing that. It wasn't a well-thrown ball. I'm shocked we didn't see a replay on that one because they made it seem like it was just this completely errant throw, but it hit him in the hand. Like, it hit him in the hand. It wasn't in the front row. It wasn't in the sideline. That's actually one that I'm looking forward to watching on the All-22 to just see how poorly it was. Do you think NRG should have grass? I know they've done it in the past. I know that they were being sued multiple times because of this.
No, I don't think
other
they should.
Retractable roof stadiums and other dome stadiums do this. Arizona does it. I forget the other one that does it, but
Arizona's able to wheel out the entire pallet, though.
Okay. All right.
But the energy doesn't have
Let's
that
be
ability.
Innovative. Now, they're probably going to get a new stadium at some point. If
right.
They want to have a Super Bowl. Should they have grass?
As when
a
they
professional
have their
football
new stadium,
team,
yes.
Should they have grass?
Currently, no.
I think you're going to see it more and more. The Players Association, the players. MetLife is the perfect example for why. But even in the other stadiums, they're all critical of anything that's not natural grass. With the amount of money that the NFL is making and the fact that you have at least, for the most part, an open-air stadium where it can be open-air to keep the grass and you can do the pallets, I don't think there's any reason why the NRG shouldn't have natural grass.
And let's be very clear about something. To host a World Cup, you must have natural grass.
That's right.
Chris Canetti, president of Houston's World Cup host committee. The plan is for grass to be installed in our NRG Stadium beginning May 2026 to give it more than a month to settle before the matches. To put it in layman's terms, we're going to have one of the greatest grass fields that you can have. So, I mean, we'll see. We'll see if Chris Canetti's right on that. But they will be having grass for the FIFA World Cup. So to say that it's implausible would be inaccurate.
Sure, but World Cup lasts, what, a month compared to a football season? So, I mean, I think it's kind of apples and oranges. I mean, we've seen them try and fail at this before. I think until they're able to actually wheel it out like they do in Arizona as one actual continuous palette of grass, I don't think they're able to do it.
I wonder how they're doing this for soccer. It'd be weird. All right, what are you not ignoring? Victory, what you winning in defeat?
Well, extending upon the conversation with that Stroud-Dalton Schultz play, there was a play, I believe it was the previous possession to that, where they had a third down, and Stroud had Diggs on a slant right across the middle field, should have been a completion to extend the drive, possibly added more points to the game. But Stroud left the ball too far inside, and the pass got broken up by the Colts defender. I thought Stroud, while for the course of the game, he played pretty well. I thought that in the first half, especially the first quarter, he was missing his spot a few more times than we're used to seeing him, and it cost him not being able to extend a few drives, probably cost him some points.
Okay. What else you got, Blankers? What are you not ignoring in victory, what you win in defeat?
From a defensive perspective, I love what Bullock brings to the table. I'm still extremely concerned about the other safety position. And especially in coverage. I think Murray can make some plays. He broke up a couple of passes nicely. He does like to hit, and he can hit. I still, from week in, week out, when watching him, I still get very concerned in coverage.
You talking about Murray?
Yeah.
I thought Murray had his best game.
Yeah, three pass breakups.
Yeah. But I'm saying, there are also some times when we talk about guys that got loose behind in the secondary and things like that, that I was like...
I'll have to go back and see who they were.
Yeah, I like him. I think he and Petrie are both extremely physical and really good when it comes to hitting and getting in the box. I still have concerns about him in coverage.
Petrie in coverage was my main guy. Two long plays. One led to a touchdown. One was a crossing route where he kind of got hit. So it's like, what do you make of that?
The guy,
yeah, he did. He ran right into him.
At the same time, like, hey, you know, should he be sidestepping him? Should he be trying to avoid contact there? Like, I don't know how that one's coached. That one's tough. But then he gave up the long one to Downs that was later ruled down at the one-yard line. Like, Petrie, when he's in man-to-man against good slot receivers in the NFL, is a mismatch. Yes, he had the interception. And I heard people, like, oh, Petrie played great. Petrie was outstanding. He had the interception. Great play. End zone coverage. Reading Richardson's eyes. Yes, he was good against the run. But he had two huge plays against him in man-to-man coverage. Petrie in man-to-man against good slots has always been an issue so far this year, and it always will be. He's not good in coverage.
Yeah, my next one was into the first half. There was a situation where we thought they were in field goal range, even though it was kind of at the fringe. And part of my worry there when they dropped back to pass is like, man, they haven't been protecting well. They could get knocked out of field goal range. And sure enough, the Colts sacked him, knocked him out of field goal range. And not that I put a ton of blame on Stroud for this, but if he stayed with the play just a second longer, Schultz was the hot. Schultz basically kind of did like the fake block and then just, you know, went to the side. It was sitting there for the little dump off. If Stroud sees pressure, he knows they can't take a sack because they're going to get knocked out of field goal range. If he looks hot to Schultz, they're fine. They pick up a few yards. The drive continues or the possession continues. But instead, he takes the sack and costs the points.
I'll have to look back at that one. I don't remember that one off the top of my head. I remember the sack. I don't remember where Schultz
was. I went back and rewound it a few times. Schultz does kind of the fake block where you know, 1, 2, 3, and then he ducks out to where like he was there for a little bit.
Yeah, makes himself
like 3-yard dump off. Yeah.
Yeah, I'll look for that one. I do remember the sack. I don't remember seeing Schultz on that. No, I wasn't looking is what I'm saying. Up by 10, 4th and 8 at the Colts 45. You have a guy on your punt return team that is getting off late. You had 12 guys on the field, didn't get off on time. It turned a 4th and 8 into a 4th and 3 from the 50. Colts decided, hey, we're going to go for it now because it's at the 50 and it's only 4th and 3. They get the first down and a quarterback sweep to the right. They get a field goal later in that game. You're up by 10 at that moment. You're up by 10. You force the offense off the field. You're about to get the football. Who knows? Maybe you have a scoring drive for a touchdown. But nonetheless, you're getting the football back up by 10. Up by 10. You have 12 on the field, and then they convert it. They get a field goal, make it a one-possession game. Made that game, you know, back into the, you know, where it could be swung either way. That's
That was bad.
A bad mistake. I'm wondering if you should have taken the timeout there. Hindsight 2020, you take the timeout. But in the moment, it's a little bit more difficult because you don't know if the Colts are going to go for it. Fourth and eight turns into a 4-3. You're not sure if the Colts decide they want to go. Hindsight 2020, you obviously take the timeout.
I think Shane Steichen has shown that he's willing to go for that in most cases.
Should he have taken the timeout?
I do think so, because yeah, I think there was a situation early in the game where he also went for it in a similar situation. So, yeah, I don't have that note exactly.
That's
in
where
front
I
of
landed,
me, but...
though, Brian. I landed on the tendencies. Like, if the tendencies tell you, we're not privy to that information, but if the tendencies tell you that Shane Steichen in that spot's more likely to go for it than not, I think that's a spot where you should have taken the timeout. Because I mean, they got points in that drive versus you having the football up by 10. That's massive.
If they lose the game, we're talking about it. That is one of the biggest points in the entire game.
For sure.
The fact that they almost screwed themselves out of being able to cakewalk this game because of that particular play.
What else you guys got?
I had one more. Because it's kind of some of the problems, like, along with the offensive line that we keep hearing that they're working on it. We keep expecting it to get better, and it's becoming kind of comical how they keep talking about it's going to get better, and it never does. But one of the things was not getting the play call called soon enough, not getting up to the line of scrimmage soon enough, and then the play clock runs down, they get rushed. And there was a situation right after they got the deep ball to Diggs, and I believe it was the third quarter, they got the deep ball to Diggs, and then second and third down right after that, the play clock got down to like 2 or 3 seconds, and the plays were completely, it was the bat snap that went over CJ's head that he had to fall on, or he picked it up and threw it away. And then right after that, they got down to like 2 seconds again, and the Colts got quick pressure, and CJ just had to throw it away to avoid the sack. But it just poor pre-play execution right after a big play to dig, same sort of stuff we've been seeing for weeks.
Yeah.
Well, they're working on it, Brian. It doesn't get fixed overnight.
It's week eight, or about to be week nine.
Bobby Slowick admits it. We're working on it.
A few texts, not ignoring in victory what you wouldn't in defeat. 5798, I'm not ignoring that turnover near the end of the game in the red zone. Texans were icing the game away and almost literally threw the game away with a poor lateral. I mean, it was a halfback toss.
But it's a pitch play, yeah.
It was the design run. Now, it was two things on that play that I noticed. Not a good pitch by C.J. Stroud.
No.
It was behind Mixon. Mixon kind of handcuffed him and was behind him off his left shoulder. You want that pitch like more to his right shoulder out in front. And then Kate Stover also, I think, impeded C.J. Stroud's pitch pat, like lane, like his window. Because I don't know if it's because Stover was late. I don't know if it was because Stover got pushed back. I'm curious what they saw there. But if you look at it, Stover's like right in Stroud's face. And I think the reason that led to the pitch to Mixon being behind him was because Stover was in the lane of it being in front of him.
Were they running that same action they do on the split zone? Because they ran that split zone concept where the tight end from one side comes across and cracks back on the other side.
I think it was.
I wonder if they were running that to make it look like it was the split zone run between the guards, but it was actually the toss. And then Stover, like you said, as he's coming across, gets in the pitch lane.
He definitely was in the pitch lane. I think he was. I think he was in motion running across.
Yeah, they might have been trying to fake a split zone.
The I heard some people think that was not conclusive. To be a
really?
Down by contact.
The fumble?
Mixon threw him down.
Yeah, I thought he threw him down once he possessed the ball.
Now,
I thought so too.
I heard it. I was in the car the first initially, and radio was convinced it was a touchdown.
Really?
Yeah, they were acting like it was
live
a touchdown.
Or after the review, after they saw the replays.
They were even looking at the scoreboard review and thinking that they would almost describing it as if they might be lucky if they get.
Huh.
Yeah, and so then when I went back and looked at it, I was like, well, it seems pretty clear cut that
yeah, I wonder if
Mixon
they didn't have a
hit touched him.
I wonder if they didn't have a good look at the review. Because
probably.
I thought it was pretty clear that once the guy possessed the ball, Mixon kind of threw him down.
He threw him down.
Like, Mixon might
that
have already.
Constitutes is down by contact.
Mixon might have already been in the process of throwing him down before he had possession of the ball. But after he had possession of the ball, Mixon was still holding on to him or touching him as he went down to the ground. So I thought that was clear and obvious. A few other texts. Don't ignore in victory what you wouldn't in defeat. 713-780-3776. Slowick needs to speed up the offense because of this trash line. I did notice him go with a little bit more play action early. Some rollout stuff, which gets him out of the pocket. Makes it a little bit more difficult to rush. Now, the tempo is something that they do need to get better. Not necessarily like tempo to the next play. And we talked about this last week. But getting the play call in, getting into the huddle, getting out of the huddle, getting to the line quicker, I think it leads to some of their issues. There was a couple of bad snaps where it's like Stroud, one in the ball, high snap. One in the ball, pressure. So it's like, stop getting so late in the play clock. I feel like that's one of the easier things that they can correct.
Well, and watching Rodgers do it for years, too, and especially when their line was less than, because that's what they did. They'd go quicker. They'd go to more of the pistol. They'd more – and move them around. But at the same time, the easiest way for the defense to prepare for whatever he's doing and to jump on it is when you run the clock down so far that the lineman can see it. No, okay, regardless of what he's doing, we're gone in the next 2 seconds.
Yeah, I will say to the Texas point, though, I thought Bobby Sloak actually adjusted fairly well in this game. They went to a lot of rollouts and quick throws as the game went on.
See, I thought he did it more early than late.
I thought it was, defined early, but I thought it was, okay, we're not getting protection in the first quarter, and they went to in the second quarter. That's what I thought. That's what I'm remembering, but we'll look at the all 22
that I have. Texans were in the red zone 6 times. You know how many touchdowns they scored in their red zone trips?
The mix and run, was that it?
They scored twice in the red zone. They had the late interception, Diggs, Tank Dell touchdown. Sure. Sure. They had the ball in the red zone 6 times, and they scored 2 touchdowns. That's not championship level.
That ain't great.
Can you beat the Colts at home with scoring a touchdown 1 of every 3 times in the red zone? Yeah. Can you beat some mediocre teams in the NFL getting into the red zone 6 times and scoring twice? Yeah. Can you beat the top teams in the
Lions,
NFL
Ravens.
Getting into the red zone 6 times and scoring 2 touchdowns? Absolutely not. Like, that is an area that has to improve. That's why everybody's frustrated with this offense. It's like, okay, the yards are there, the tools are there, although one might be out for a while, but there's this void in yards and there's this void in points that exist in this Texans offense. It's like the Astros offense. The Astros had great slash numbers, but they couldn't score runs. So there's this void. There's this void there, and it's, I think, because of the red zone. They move the ball. Or even if it's not in the red zone, it's once you get into the other team's territory. They get into the other team's territory with ease, and then these drives are stalling out. And they have to score more touchdowns. They got to get in the paint. Like, they just have to if they want to be this best version of themselves. 713-780-ESPN. Let's grade the quarterback, C.J. Stroud. I'm seeing some different things about the quarterback. Some didn't think he played well. Some think he played well. How did you think he played? 713-780-3776. It is the Bees on ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5. U of H coming off their big homecoming win against Utah. I told you it was going to be fun. I told you it was going to be a great night. Cougars getting the walk-off field goal for the win on homecoming to come away with their second Big 12 win. They take on Kansas State. This week will be a bigger test. November 2nd, 2:30 at TD ECU Stadium. Get ready for an afternoon of thrilling plays, hard-hitting action, unforgettable moments. The weather is going to be fantastic. Nothing beats the tradition, pageantry, and the roar of the crowd of a college football game. Don't miss our blackout special. Team's wearing black. You're going to wear black. But this blackout special, you get a ticket, a T-shirt for just $30. To grab this deal, visit uhcougars.com/black. That's uhcougars.com/black. uhcougars.com/black. Come early. Be loud. Wear black as we pack TDECU Stadium, and we're going to give away a pair of tickets right now to caller number 713-780-3776. Pair of tickets going your way to watch U of H take on Kansas State. 713-780-3776. It is the Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
Guys, before we go to the break, a word for Allstate Siding and Windows. They're the best in the business at protecting, for most of us, is our biggest investment. That's our house. And the fact that they have the products that can protect your house and your family, the contents, and everything about it when we experience the hurricane season that inevitably we go through all the time, to the extreme heat of the summers and the occasional really, really cold freezes in the winters. Allstate Siding and Windows has the best answers for anything that you got dealing with protecting your house from the elements and making sure that in the process you reduce your energy bills and you give a better overall look and feel to your house. It's fantastic. They're the best in the business. Been in business for almost 50 years. The family, it keeps running it on a daily basis. Mary keeps everything going at the headquarters. Her brother gets out there and does the free estimates and comes to talk to you about what they can do to help you. It starts with you looking at the website, allstatesidingandwindows.com. You can see all the products they offer, even front doors, but they do so much more. And what they really do is in the name, the siding and the windows. And that protective outer shell that it provides for your house. The windows, we just had them installed at our house. The overall curb appeal is the first thing you notice. It's a beautiful look to the house, and it modernizes the entire structure. But then when you realize we've saved over 30% on our energy bills, it becomes really meaningful, and it really solidifies why we made the decision to go with the windows from Allstate. You can check them out today, see all the different products and services they have that can benefit you, but start because it's a free estimate by calling them on the phone, 832-204-1936. Bring someone to your house to tell you exactly how they can help you with one, if not both, of siding and windows and all the right products for the way your structure is designed. They are fantastic, and they'll walk you through every step of the step-by-step process. 832-204-1936. Get someone to get to you to tell you what Allstate can do. Check them out at allstatewindowsandsiding.com or allstatesidingandwindows.com, but get in touch with them today.
ESPN 97.5.
You found the Killer Bees, live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios. Here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Some are indifferent about how C.J. Stroud performed this past week, yesterday, against the Colts. 25-37, 285. A touchdown, no pick, sacked twice, QBR 60.2, quarterback rating 99.5. Those are the raw numbers. Todd the Show pointing out that he was missing a lot of easy throws. Lamont, don't ignore him victory, although C.J. stat line would disagree with me, but C.J. looked like dog crap yesterday. Some are indifferent about how C.J. performed. 6381, it's hard to say. C.J. not playing well when guys are in his face before he can make a read. He's fighting for his life instead of playing. Another texter, I thought CJ had an okay game, not spectacular. We know who won the matchup between Stroud and Richardson. Mm-hmm. Really not worth discussing. But how would you assess Stroud's play yesterday?
Look, I think you have to start with the fact that he didn't turn the football over. I don't think that he put you in harm's way. I think he was in harm's way for the majority of the day. And the fact that he was running for his life, and they had to constantly do things to get him away from. He took a lot of hits, especially in the first half. He was getting guys in his face all the time. He was still making plays. He didn't have 86 yards passing either. He had a really good day passing the football with all those variables going against him. And then, you know, you lose Diggs at a certain point, too, and they won the football game. I'm not going to criticize C.J. Stroud for the inability of the offensive line to keep him safe. And the fact that he was able to put up the kind of yards and not turn the ball over as opposed to the Green Bay game, I thought he was fantastic yesterday in basically helping you win that football game. He didn't do anything to lose it. So for that, I mean, I'm going to give him probably A-.
A-, okay.
He did have a turnover, though.
What was the turnover?
The fumble.
Fumble?
Yeah.
Is that on him?
I didn't know
that they put that on him. I still don't. I mean, yeah, Jeremy's point, it could have been a better pitch. But I don't think that's the kind of turnover that I'm going to point at him and say, that's a play call that he's executing. Did he execute it perfectly? No.
Yeah. I thought it was a poor pitch. I mean, I'll be honest. I'd have to look at it again. Yeah. I mean, it was behind Mixon. There's no doubt about that. Now, was it behind Mixon because that was the only place he could put it? Like, that's one that I want to see a little bit closer. Kostover may have obstructed, but it wasn't a good pitch. And, yeah, Mixon never possessed it, so it's his turnover. I was really impressed with what I saw from Stroud, specifically after the Diggs injury. Like, things could have been awful there. Like, you lose your top target because you don't have Nico. You still targeted Diggs a ton in this game, so he was obviously a key factor in the game plan. You targeted him 9 times before he left the game with injury. And then after that, you have, you know, a collection of Tank Dell, John Mechie. Of course, you have Xavier Hutchinson as well. That happened late in the third quarter. And after that, the Houston Texans were, like, you look at what they did on the offensive end after they lost Stephon Diggs. They went for a field goal late in the third quarter, that drive that kind of extended in the fourth quarter. They fumbled and deep into Texans territory. That's the fumble that we were talking about. So you should have had two scoring drives without Stephon Diggs on the field. I thought that he handled the Stephon Diggs injury very well. I thought he was throwing it well after the Diggs injury, and he was moving the ball with receivers that weren't his top two. And Lamont's right, Todd's right. Like, he did miss some throws. I thought he was more errant and off in the first half than the second half specifically.
A lot of that was pressure driven?
Not always.
Some of them were, where he just had to get rid of it before the receiver had time to look.
Some of them, yeah. Now, I still felt like he'd misfired. And he has also spoiled us to the point where we think that he's going to complete those passes even whenever he's pressured and he's under duress. So I thought that he played well, considering all the factors. One of the other nitpicks I have of Stroud is he has to get to the line quicker. Like, we talk about the offensive line woes and being late in the play clock and rushing to get the snap off with just very few seconds left in the play clock. It's quarterback. Like, that's mm-hmm. quarterback's job. Like, you're the one getting the play in. You're the one that's seeing everybody onto the field. You're the one that's in the huddle. You're the one that's getting everybody up to the line. Like, you are the maestro. Like, you are the maestro of this offense. You need to get everybody to the line quicker. Like, if this is a team issue, you as the quarterback and you as the quarterback of the offense, you need to get this offense moving. Get them to the line. Get this operation going. So I thought he could be better there. I give him a B+, though. I thought he played well. The defense for the Colts were in his face, tons of pressures. He got hit a lot. He lost digs. He's already without Nico Collins. I give him a B+.
Yeah, I grade a little bit of on a curve here because of what you guys have mentioned. The offensive line still wasn't good. Obviously, he's down. His top target, and for part of the game, he was down his second target. But we've talked about what you just mentioned with the failure to, I guess, execute the pre-snap stuff very effectively, certainly slow in a couple situations like we talked about in the last segment. We also talked about some of the missed throws, and they were more in the first half because he had a great throw early in the fourth quarter. We had to scramble out when he was facing pressure, and he completed that pass to Xavier Hutchinson. So he still showed a lot of the same ability we've seen before with the scramble, the accuracy on the run. But I thought there was some stuff that he frankly should be beyond, even though it's his second year. Some of the missed throws, the one to Diggs, the one to Schultz that we've talked about, and not getting the team to the line of scrimmage and the play ready to go in time like we talked about after the big play to Diggs in the second half. Frankly, he should be beyond that, so I'm going to have to drop him down a little bit. I'll give him a B, a regular B. No minus, no plus, just a regular B.
All right, so A minus, B plus, B for CJ Stroud. 713-780-3776. Let's go out to the HRMP listener line. La Sasa, you're in the Hive with the Bees. What's up?
Hey, coming over, Triple Bees. Hey, would you consider that CJ Stroud is in a minor sophomore slump? That's all I got. Thank you.
Thank you, Sasa.
I don't think he's in a slump. I think that he had a bad game against Green Bay, but I think we just described exactly why he has some of the challenges that make it more difficult for him in certain games. The Green Bay game wasn't his best effort. That's going to happen with everybody. At the same time, when he's running for his life and he's got guys in his face the majority of the time, you should have the wherewithal to be able to understand that, and you don't use that against him. I don't think he's slumping. I think that there's been a lot to deal with lately with the line issues.
A lot of times we just look at quarterback production and think that everything else is the same, right? Like everything else around CJ Stroud is the exact same as it used to be or that it was last year. Stroud's facing more pressure than he saw last season. Mm-hmm. His numbers are down. Why? Well, because he's seeing more pressure. You can make the case that maybe he's not as accurate as he was a year ago. I'm not really seeing that. I think he's the same guy. In fact, I think that in a lot of ways he's better. I think that he's better at creating than he was a year ago. I think he wasn't rushed as often last year or pressured as often last year, but I think he's doing better at handling the pressure this year than he did a year ago. Maybe because he's seeing it more. Maybe that's the reason. But no, I don't think that Stroud's in a sophomore slump. I think the offense is just sputtering, kind of. I think they're more mid than we thought they were going to be, but I don't think Stroud's the reason. The offensive line is the clear reason to me.
Yeah, no doubt. I just think that you have to – it doesn't even take a rocket scientist to figure it out. The fact is a lot of the times you want to talk about the accuracy issues or if he's not as accurate as he was a year ago. Well, that's because a lot of times he's not only leading the receiver to the football, but he's throwing it, as we mentioned just previously, before the back of the receiver has time to even look for it and turn over and look over their shoulder because he's got someone in his grill.
713-780-ESPN. Let's hand out game balls. Who are you giving game balls to this week? It is the Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
All right, but before we go to the break, a quick minute here for Underdog Fantasy. And how did your fantasy football teams do this weekend? Did you get crushed by the Jalen Hurts Devonta stack? Maybe the unlikely going off stack of Kirk Cousins and Kyle Pitts? Did that ruin your weekend? I mean, it sucks, but that's exactly why the best place to play is with Underdog Fantasy. Unlike with year-long leagues, you're not working with preseason information or stuck with injured players with Underdog Fantasy. Every day is a new day and a new chance to make big money, real money. And the best way to play on Underdog Fantasy is with their pick'em games where you can win up to 1,000 times your money just by choosing higher or lower on player stats like yards, touchdowns, interceptions, and more. So where do you think you're going to play tonight? Maybe a Monday night Night Football entry. Maybe you're thinking about playing the World Series, or maybe you want to play the play a Raucous entry. Well, why not all three? So here's my entry tonight. I'm mixing them all up. Give me higher than 19.5 points for Jalen Green, lower on 229.5 passing yards for Daniel Jones, and higher than 1.5 total bases for Shohei Ohtani. That's right. You can mix and match sports with your pick 'em entry on Underdog Sports. And don't forget, while playing your pick 'em entry, that with Underdog's double flex option, you can even take two L's and still have your entry be a win, or cash out a winning entry early just by tapping the Win Now button to cash out your entry whenever you want. With that type of flexibility, why would you play anywhere else than with Underdog Fantasy? So download the app, sign up with promo code BMAC, that's BMAC, and deposit now to get up to $1,000 in bonus cash instantly. That's promo code BMAC, BMAC. Must be 18 plus and a present in a state where Underdog Fantasy operates. Terms apply. Conservative play, call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit ncpgambling.org.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
Try to be best, cause you're only a man, and a man's got to learn to take it. Try to believe, though the going gets rough, that you gotta hang tough to make it. History repeats itself, try and you succeed.
You found the killer bees, live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios. Here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
The Bees on ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5. Who are you giving your game balls to? 713-780-3776. Blankers, game ball.
Well, let's start with Josh Jacobs of the Green Bay Packers. How about 127 yards and two touchdowns with a injured Jordan Love on the sideline with a groin? He stepped up big, ran the football well. They came from behind, and they beat the Jets.
How about Malik Willis, man?
He was, look, he gets credit. LaFleur should get a ton of credit.
No doubt.
On the fly, once again, they just go to a completely different offense, run-centric, and they win.
Yeah, that's I was looking to, somebody posted passer ratings in the NFL, and Malik Willis obviously doesn't have like a big enough sample, whatever, to be a leader. But he's amongst the leaders, if you were to be included. Malik Willis, who the Titans are like, no, we're good. We got Will Levis and Mason Rudolph. We don't need Malik Willis, guys. Malik Willis, when he's coached by LaFleur, has been pretty good, pretty stinking good. This is my favorite quarterback in the NFL that's a non-Houston Texan, because, of course, I bias towards C.J. Stroud. Famous Jameis Winston, 334 yards, three touchdowns. Here was Jameis Winston before the game. Jameis Winston pregame leading the troops, leading the Browns against the Ravens.
I believe. Eyes have not seen, ears have not heard of the Lord God of the Great Fire.
Come on.
Okay? We don't have to see instant gratification. We don't have to see something good after books. We gotta believe.
Yes, sir.
We got wavering faith.
Come on.
I got that.
Come on.
All right. You got one opportunity.
Yeah.
I love you, man. And I believe in my crew. Who wins?
Love me some Jameis Winston. You have to have eyes to believe. You got to have ears to hear. I don't even know what he's saying. But I'm so happy that Jameis Winston is a focal point now in the NFL, because we get Jameis Winston pregame. We get Jameis Winston at the podium after the game. We get Jameis Winston at the podium during the week. Jameis Winston behind a microphone is gold. I don't care if the Browns go winless. I don't care if they win the rest of their games. Jameis Winston should be a permanent starter in the NFL, so we can hear gems like this after he defeats Baltimore.
Man, it's a white boy from Detroit that I really admire named Eminem. He said, you only get one shot. Do not miss your chance to blow. This opportunity lasts once in a lifetime. And I know I got a quote, you know, Eminem, he from Detroit, he right up the road, but man, I'm just grateful.
I love this guy. I love Jameis Winston with all of my heart. White boy from Detroit. His name's Eminem.
I think that he actually like went on and like quoted it verbatim, like some sort of motivational script that he's got up on his wall somewhere.
I just think the bigger thing is that it shows you, maybe more so than anything else, how much that team turned on and doesn't care for Deshaun Watson, and that as much as we laugh at how over the top he is with his speeches and things, they're going to play for him. They played well for him. They weren't supposed to beat the Ravens. I give him credit. I mean, that it's on him, and it's on a team that wants to play for someone as opposed to getting really sick and tired of all the Deshaun crap.
Oh, they would be 8-0 if Jameis Winston was the starting quarterback all year. I firmly believe that. I'm a Jameis Winston stan. I'm a delusional Jameis Winston lunatic fan. That's how much I love Jameis Winston.
You're on Twitch?
You have Swifties. Who are other popular? You have the people that followed around, the Beatles. I am a James, as big a fan as they are of the Swifties.
Winsties?
Of the Beatles. Of Selena. That's how big of a fan
old
I am Lin about Sanity Jameis Winston.
Yeah. The Jeremy Lin crowd, their fan club supporters were delusionally off their rocker supporters.
Jameis Winston has all my heart. All right, who's your game ball to, Brian?
I'm going to give one to George Kittle. Big in the win over the Cowboys last night. He's been big all year, but went for six catches, 128 yards, and a touchdown. George Kittle, as he's done all year, popped off and had a big game for the 49ers.
I'm calling conspiracy. 6'4", 250, very big, George Kittle. I'm calling a conspiracy. Do you know what day yesterday was in the NFL?
National tight end day.
All the tight ends.
Do you know what happened amongst all of the tight ends in the NFL? They had the most touchdown catches in a single day than they've ever had before in the position's history. They had more catches at the position than they've ever had in a single day. And this is a conspiracy. This is a big, giant conspiracy. This is big tight end. This is tight end ma. This is big tight end. This is tight end ma. They give them a day, and then they go off. We should have known this. We should have saw this coming. Us as sports bettors, we should have played the over on every single tight end and every single prop bet. This was a massive, massive fix. I am blaming big tight end. I'm blaming tight end ma. This is a conspiracy, and I'm here for it. These tight ends pop off on National Tight End Day. Elite tight ends in the NFL have been atrocious this year. And then all of a sudden, on National Tight End Day, they go crazy? You kidding me? No. There's something fishy here.
Every telecast mentioned it, too.
Maybe they just want to show some love for tight ends.
We need a loose change on this is what we need. This is fishy. We need an investigative report on what is going on. What is happening? All right, what else you got?
I got Ladd McConkey, who had 111 yards and two touches. So he played extremely well for a Charger team that beat the Saints pretty handily.
Pretty solid rookie. I like him. I like a little Ladd.
He's good.
I like a little Ladd in my life. Jalen Hurts, 273, four total touchdowns. Jalen Hurts, dare I say, the Eagles are back?
Their offense pretty good. Yeah, their offense is pretty good.
Dare I say? All right, what do you got, Brian?
Scary Terry. Obviously, everyone's going to talk about the walk-off Hail Mary that the Commanders hit and that went over the Bears. Sorry, Joe George. But Scary Terry continues to be huge. He went five catches for 125 yards. Been a big play receiver for Jaden Daniels.
Matt Eberflus needs the Commander game ball on that one.
Yeah.
Bo Nix. Atrocious. Bo Nix, 284 and three touches.
Yeah.
And then they ran up the score.
Some thought so.
Yeah, they sure did.
Some thought so.
Run up the score in the NFL.
You don't believe so?
No. I agree with, like, if it's a, a major SEC school versus Maine, who Oklahoma's playing next week, you can run up the score in that situation. I'll hear that argument. But in the NFL, you're all paid professionals. Get over it. Play better.
Okay, I'm here for that.
Horn went after Peyton after the game.
Saw it. Now, Maine catching some strays today from Brian.
Well, just the top of mind because they're on the Oklahoma schedule from the I Believe segment.
Randos at Oklahoma.
Ben Johnson, game ball. Jared Goff threw three touchdowns on 85 yards.
That's crazy.
Montgomery threw a touchdown to Amon-Ra St. Brown. Ben Johnson was in his back. Six different people caught or ran a touchdown for the Lions. Ben Johnson gets my game ball. It must be nice to have one of the best offensive coordinators in the NFL. Oh,
man, that Titans defense was supposed to be pretty decent, but they got exposed.
They are decent.
The special teams guy that had exposed. A return for a touchdown, another long, long return.
Gibbs had a 70-yard touchdown.
But I'm talking about a return guy had a receiving touchdown that was a long one, had a return for a touchdown of a kick return, and then a long punt return. They were all over the place offensively.
Yeah, a bunch of turnovers in that game.
Someone said in the last 2 weeks they've had more points as a team than the rest of the entire NFL.
I'd believe it.
Wow.
They had the 50 burger yesterday.
Hold on. What?
they put a 40-plus 2 weeks ago.
So they've had more points in the last 2 weeks than what?
Then I thought I heard the report right that someone said the rest of the NFL
combined.
That can't be right. No. Maybe
over a 2 week span. Over each team individually.
Like they had more points in the last 2 weeks than teams have had all year.
No, I thought I heard it over any individual team over the last.
Yeah,
two
they
weeks.
Probably have had well, the most points in the last 2 weeks.
They almost put 100 points on the board, right? Over 2 weeks.
I'm sure they lead the NFL in point scoring in the last 2 weeks. Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't think they've outscored the entire.
No, you
can't. That would be damn near impossible.
That would be impressive. You're like Babe Ruth type stuff.
my next game ball goes to James Cook. I mean, crushing, yeah, brutal win. Seattle was awful in that game, but the Bills did it to him because they seem to reestablish themselves as one of the elite. But James Cook went for 111 yards, 2 touchdowns, and only 17 carries. He was slicing and dicing through the Seattle defense all day long.
What else you got?
I had Jaden Daniels, just because he had 326 yards and the one touchdown that no one's going to forget.
Yeah.
He threw it 65 yards in the air, and he really worked his ass off to get open enough to throw.
Yes, he worked his ass off to be able to stay alive that long for the guys to get down there. But part of the reason why I gave it to Terry is, if you take away, I know it all counts, but if you take away the one touchdown and the 50-something yards on that Hail Mary, he's 276 with the low completion percentage and no touchdowns. So give him credit. He went out there and played with
credit. He played,
Bruce.
Yeah.
Not only did he play, but one of my game balls was going to be to him actually run. And he ran the ball 8 times for 50-something yards with the bruised ribs. He's a gamer.
He's a dog. Kirk Cousins, though, 4 touchdowns. Yeah. How are you? I mean, Kirk Cousins, no respect. We have to he gets mentioned this late in the segment.
You love him. You had your opportunity to mention him earlier.
I mean, I was the first one to mention him. You can't blame me.
I mentioned him in my live read.
4 touchdowns.
The last part of the segment.
Yeah, I tuned you out. Sorry. What else you got, Brian?
I'll give another one to Kyler Murray, someone who I had supported, then had to trash because he hadn't been playing well. But he ruined my pick of the Dolphins -3 from BZ Money last week, because he and the Cardinals went to Miami and ruined the return of Tua. But he went for 307 and 2 touchdowns, plus did a little bit running. Kyler Murray was great yesterday.
I went big tight end on that one, Trey McBride.
Yeah, Trey McBride was also very good.
Kyler Murray, the greatest current athlete that exists on this planet. I have two more if y'all don't have them.
Keep going.
I've got a couple more. Go ahead, Jeremy.
KC's rush defense, 21 carries for the Raiders, 36 yards, 1.6 yard per carry. Maybe the most impressive, though, the Raiders had a long rush of 7 yards. Their longest rush in the entire game was 7 yards. And if you had to go to one play, you can't pick a whole defense, Branham. That's cheating. Okay. Well, I'll go Drew Tranquil at 3 tackles for loss.
There you go.
For that vaunted Kansas City defense.
Well, let's stay with KC. Travis Kelce on National Tight End Day Big tight end putting that conspiracy for us. But 10 for 90 and a touchdown. Rolled back the clock a little bit. Travis Kelce was great.
Feel kind of gross putting Ramondre Stevenson here, 20-48, but he scored twice. Fell into the end zone twice.
He was under Kraft 3 yards of carry, though, wasn't he?
Didn't he? Yeah. Look at you listening to another Packer in there.
Well, because, you know,
there you go.
You're fun. But you know what?
Big tight end.
I watched
big tight end.
The Raiders should be embarrassed. Their offensive play calling against the Chiefs. They played right into – they kept running the same freaking running play over and over again, and then it was like – they went for it on 4th and goal from the 5, and then just completely had nothing. Their offensive play calling was horrible.
Yeah, look at that. Look at Green Bay. You know what Green Bay's leading receiver was yesterday in terms of yards?
Tucker Kraft.
You know who caught their only touchdown? Tucker Kraft.
Big tight end.
I'm telling you, this conspiracy is real. It's real. It is a fact. It's 100. It's not even an opinion. It is a fact. All right, a few texts coming in. Chicago Bears defensive backs deserve a game ball for their defense of the Hail Mary. Play Jameis saying, play for the names on our helmets. Yeah, Jameis Winston in that big, fire up the teammates thing. He said, you got to play for the names on your back. You got to play for the decal on your helmet. You got to play for the Browns.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Honestly, no decal on that helmet.
I think Winston fans are called the Crabbies. I see what you did there. Game ball to Jacobs. Branham is the president of the Winsties. I'm here for it, man. I love me some famous Jameis Winston. Married a Rice women's basketball player, so some ties to the city.
Did he really?
Love me some famous Jameis. I forget her name. The Lions scored more points in the last 4 weeks than any other team has scored the whole year. So I think that's the thing that you were trying to say, which that's, I mean, incredible.
Still impressive.
They're super impressive. All right, 713-780-3776. What's your car wreck of the day? 713-780-3776. You know that U of H football wasn't a car wreck this weekend. They beat Utah. Second Big 12 win for the Houston Cougars, matching the amount of wins they had last year in the Big 12. Looking to carry the momentum to Saturday when U of H takes on the Kansas State Wildcats, nationally ranked Kansas State, a Wildcat team with playoff aspirations. So it'll be a big one Saturday at TDECU Stadium, Houston taking on Kansas State. 2:30 kickoff at TDECU. Get ready for an afternoon of thrilling plays, hard-hitting action, unforgettable moments. Nothing beats the tradition, pageantry, and the roar of the crowd at a college football game. The weather is going to be terrific. You do not want to miss out. And don't miss the blackout special. A ticket and a t-shirt for just $30. A ticket and a t-shirt, yours for just $30. To grab this deal, go to uhcougars.com/black. That's uhcougars.com/black. And pick up your ticket, your t-shirt for just $30 as you see the Houston Cougars taking on Kansas State. Come out early, too. Stop by the Bud Light backyard tailgate area. Enjoy food, a beverage, and all the tailgate games. Come early, be loud, and wear black as we pack TD ECU Stadium with Houston taking on Kansas State.
ESPN 97.5.
You all right?
My leg's broken. The bone's coming through.
You prick. Where's my money?
This is the car wreck of the day.
Get to our car wreck of the day quickly here. Killer G stole 3 minutes. World Series coming up, so we're getting out a minute earlier. So we got to be quick. Car wreck of the day. What are you nominating, Blake?
Well, in honor of that, Tyreek Stevenson of the Bears, who spent the first part of the Hail Mary play before it even started, yapping at the Washington sideline, only to be the guy that actually tipped it to Noah Brown for the touchdown and then had to apologize to his whole team today.
I wish we had more time because he was in position. Like, that wasn't the reason that they completed the Hail Mary. Like, he was back in plenty of time.
He shouldn't have been doing what he was.
No, he shouldn't have. You're right. The optics on that are terrible. But he was in position way before Daniels threw the ball.
Whether it was him, too, or somebody else, and I haven't heard definitively, someone's got to be the back guy in that play, too, to prevent it from going
over
the top.
I think it was actually him, which made it
worse. That's what I was going to say. If that's him, then I don't care if he got back in time to tip it.
Yeah, but he was there. I want to nominate just Anthony Richardson for the train wreck, car wreck. That was an awful throwing performance. Brian?
I'd like to nominate Trevon Diggs. If he didn't see it, he went after a media member outside of the locker room after their loss to the 49ers and dropped a D's nuts on him at one point. Apparently mad with a tweet the guy sent out questioning Diggs' effort on a George Kittle big play.
He was right.
I know. The media member was right, which makes it worse. If you see the video, Diggs was making business decisions, wanted no part of trying to bring Kittle down.
I don't have a problem with what Diggs did. The only thing that I have a problem with is that Diggs didn't give him an answer on what he was doing. If you want to go after a media member for what they're saying, I don't have a problem. Like, obviously, you're not going to get physical. But say, give him the answer, at least. Car wreck of the day, Texans OC, the Bears defensive back, Stevenson, Titans special teams coach, and then me for saying that I love a little Ladd McConkey in my life. Hashtag phrasing. All right, what's winning?
I think it's got to be Stevenson.
Stevenson?
Sure.
All right, Stevenson, you're a winner because you lost yesterday. Does it for us. Thanks to Brian for doing all the hard work. He's Blank. I'm Brian, and we'll talk to you tomorrow, Houston. Game 3 of the World Series now.
97.5.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting 3 matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and Leon starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.